Welcome to Russell on the Move, LCCC's weekly community affairs update. To keep you connected to our mission of advancing equity through empowerment of children, adults, and families of Russell and other West Louisville neighborhoods. Spend the next hour tuned in right here. Get the latest news of family services, community opportunities, businesses, and economic development, and much more. Hear from our leaders and special guests. Call in to be a part of this history-making broadcast. Join LCCC's movement to create vibrant neighborhood conditions for children, for adults, and businesses to thrive socially, academically, artistically, and economically. This is the next episode of Russell on the Move with your host, Kevin Fields. Leading with vision, educating on economic mobility, advancing equity, developing quality.
Welcome back to Russell on the Move. This is Kevin Fields, President and CEO of Louisville Central Community Center, and excited today to bring you another episode of Russell on the Move. And today's a big day. You know, we've been having fellowship already, and this is what this day is all about, is brotherhood and fellowship in honor of a dear brother, Brother Daryl Drake. And so I'm excited that we're going to host this hour of dialogue, lifting up the spirit of Daryl Drake. He is being inducted this weekend, which is a big event, a historic event for the world, I would say, certainly for his family, his friends, his community. And, you know, so we're going to celebrate this hour. We're going to hear from some family, Brother Daryl's family is on with us, and some friends, some former teammates. He's been inducted into the Athletic Hall of Fame, in case I didn't say that, at Western Kentucky University. So here we are, excited to be here. Brother Herbert L's in the building. Good morning, Herb.
Good morning, Kevin. How you doing?
I'm here. I'm thankful. And Brother Vince, our engineer, is with us. But I'm really excited about our very, very special guest who's in the studio and on the line with us. So we're going to get right into it. I understand, Brother Vince, that Brother Derek Drake is on the line. Good morning, Brother.
Good morning,
Brother
good
Drake. Morning. Welcome to the show. So glad you could be with us.
And thank you for having me. It's an honor. I just appreciate what you all have done, and just can't tell you how much the family and myself have appreciated y'all doing this.
Well, we're gonna have fun with it, you know, because you got some hometown fans here and you know, brothers who have been with you and your brother for many years, and we're just gonna honor you and him and the whole family. I'm excited that the Reverend Dr. Mark D. Hill is with us. He is the senior pastor at First Baptist Church of LaGrange. Good morning, Reverend Hill.
Hey, good morning, Brother Fields. Brother Herb Johnson, amen to all of you. Brother Carl's here with us too, so I know you're going to introduce him. I'm just so honored, amen, to Brother Derek, my brother. Good morning. Glad to be on Russell on the Move.
Yeah, thank you, Rev. Thank you for being with us. And certainly, dear brother, Brother Carl Braisley is here. And I know Carl's got some testimony to share about his days, a former teammate of Daryl down on the hill, as well as in the professional ranks. You guys had some trials together. But good morning, Carl Braisley.
Good morning, everybody. Just glad to be here as well. You know, it's a well-deserved honor, and just, man, just happy to be in the house.
Yeah, Carl, and I should introduce Carl as the founder and CEO of 7PM Group. He's a wonderful entrepreneur in our community and making things happen for his business and for the community. So we're going to just have this hour, guys. And preparing for this moment, I just did some brainstorming and, you know, did some soul searching and probably over-prepared because, you know, I shared with you guys some things I'd like to do just to remember Daryl. His playing days while he was down on the hill at Western, his pro career, his coaching journey, and all of that. Certainly his family, his upbringing. We're going to hear from former teammates. We're going to hear from people that are making it happen down at Western. We want to give a big shout out to Brother Clarence Glover. Brother Glover is going to call in here. Clarence has been very instrumental in advancing this moment for Daryl and getting him, because he's on the W Club at Western Kentucky, which is the group that will be inducting Brother Daryl Drake on this Saturday as a part of the WKU Homecoming festivities. And, you know, we're all looking forward to going down on the hill. So one of the things that's traditional, guys, you know, we don't, you know, you guys don't need introductions, but this is a journey and we want it to be well documented. So we want to go through and have each one of you give more of a formal introduction of yourself. And as you do that, talk about your relationship to our honoree of the moment, Daryl Drake. But I'll start with you, Big Wally. Glad Derek Drake is on the line. Good morning, Derek. Introduce yourself back to the hometown.
Good morning. This is Derek Drake, and he called out my nickname, Big Wally. I guess it's okay. I guess it's fitting. I am, of course, a Louisville native. I currently live in the South in Trussell, Alabama. And, you know, basically I've been in business all my life, but after retiring, I went to film school, and now I'm just currently an actor, which I just found out today that our strike ended at midnight, so I guess we'll be going back to work.
That's right.
And, of course, I've got just fond memories of Daryl and myself. Just, you know, trying to do all the things that our parents wanted us to do. They put us in a position to succeed. And, you know, it's sad that, you know, Daryl's not here and my parents are not here, but I know that they're looking down upon us today and they're actually really smiling because they did a tremendous job with their sons with help of the community.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you're right. You know, you guys touched a lot of lives. I'm excited to hear about your acting career, though, Brother Derek. You got to tell us about, you know, how to follow you in that space. Where can we find some of your works, and what projects are you looking to work on?
I'll be shooting some commercials next week for Union State Bank. But, you know, we've been on strike since May, but you can always go to what they call IMDb, and in that site, IMDb will be a list of, you know, many of the films I've been so blessed to have taken up, you know, part in. It's a grueling, tough industry, but I just always wanted to do something that I love to do versus something that I had to do.
Yes. Well, I know you've been down in Alabama for a while, but you are a native of Louisville, Kentucky. A 32nd Street boy, and you know, you want to talk a little bit about some of that growing up in the hood here and you know, the lives that you came across there, that you and Daryl and the family came across. Talk a little bit about the hometown from your current vantage point. What do you think about us down here, or up here, because you're down there, right?
Yeah, but, man, I'm always the VO. We, you know, man, our footprint is down on what they call 32nd and Woodland, Kirby area, Dumanil. And, you know, back in the day, they called it the Valley. It was the place between Broadway and Southwick.
Yeah.
And once you hit the railroad track, some people may remember back in the day, they had the ice house.
Mm-hmm.
You used to go around the corner there and get your ice. And so, you know, it was a tough area, but a good family. And, you know, one thing, you know, any of us who would know that came up during that era, mostly, man, it was about, in my family, it was about schooling and basketball. And we tended to always have a basketball in our hands. And my parents were really strong on athletics. But, you know, back in those days, you know, those were the days when you did wrong and somebody in the neighborhood would call and you get your butt whooped.
Yeah.
And that was.
And that's before you got home and got another one when you got home.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amen. Well, and Reverend Hill, Brother Mark, I know you're familiar with that space, but give your quick bio and then talk about that same connection that you've had growing up in West Louisville. And, you know, you befriended a lot of us, and just talk about that journey.
Thank you, Kevin. And again, good morning, everyone. You know, the story that we had, we came up from, I don't remember not knowing Derek or Daryl. We were always around in the neighborhood, but, you know, we went to elementary school together, we went to middle school together, junior high then, back then. High school we split up, but we came back together again in Western. I went to JUCO first, played ball there, then I came to Western after 2 years, so everybody was already there. Friends we came up with in the neighborhood, so I wasn't a stranger, knew a lot of people. Then I met a lot of other great people that was behind me, may have been freshman or sophomore when I came in. And so we have a lifetime relationship like we do, Kevin.
Yes.
Brother Johnson, Herbert L., because we went to high school together, graduated from Manual, my brother Carl down there. But after high school, I went to WKU. After WKU, I went to the Air Force. So I'm an Air Force veteran. Mm-hmm. I traveled around the country and outside the country for my job. But when I got back to Western is when Daryl and I hooked back up again together. Amen. He was like a big brother for me. Brother Derek on the phone right now, he was a big brother to us in junior middle school, made sure we was all right. And then when they left, Daryl and Derek Jones, they looked after me. Everybody had brothers. It was always Daryl and Derek, and then it was always Mike Griffin, Daryl Griffin. So it was Michael and Daryl and Derek.
Mm-hmm.
And so my brother was many years older than me. He couldn't look after me as much, take care of me like a brother. So they was all brothers to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so so it was great, you know, even after after the Air Force when I was in, when I got back, when I would call Daryl Drake at the facility he was at, it may be 9, 10 o'clock at night, and he was still there, still coaching. One time I interrupted him. He was with Larry Fitzgerald giving him some plays. He said, hold on 1 second, Silk. Just 1 second, and I could hear, and he was giving him instructions on the game they was having that weekend and how he was going to get this many yards because of how they played. But, you know, he was so phenomenal of a person. And, mm-hmm. I heard Derek say school, of course, and education was tops, and then basketball. We always played ball together. But something else we always did was church. Amen.
Amen.
And Derek and Daryl. Amen. Not only were they at church, I'm telling his story, they were singing because his mother played and told them when they was going to sing and what time and where. Amen.
Amen.
And Daryl was not just a singer, but he was also, he taught men not just how to play football, but he also taught them how to be men. And he always brought Christ in as first. As we were all together when Eddie Preston passed away, Daryl spoke at that homegoing service also. So he used to do things for me real quick, and I would get a call and say, hey, man, University of Louisville is going to be playing Florida International. They're going to be playing another team. He said, they need you to come and give a word to the team. So I always had to go and give a word to the visiting team because they would call Daryl, the head coach, because he knew every coach knew him, every
yeah.
coach.
Yeah.
I had lunch with Coach Strong one day, and I was sitting next to him. I said, Coach Strong, you might know my friend, my brother, Daryl Drake. He said, know him. I wouldn't be where I was without him. I wouldn't Amen. Be here right now without Daryl Drake.
Amen.
So people don't know the impact, you know, that he had across the league after 40 years of coaching. And as we all sitting here, you know, together, and another former player with him at Western's here, he can tell his story. He was a phenomenal a brother, friend, always looked out for everyone and his family.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that testimony because you touched on so much. But the thing that sticks out the most is the spirit of brotherhood. When I heard you talked about, you know, the brotherhood network that helped you and helped us. And that's certainly what Daryl represented. He's a strong brother and he looked after, you know, you hear the saying and Brother Carl put together the crest. And I saw the language. I don't know if it's in Latin or whatever. Language was in, but I am my brother's keeper. And that was the spirit of Daryl Drake. When you say Carl Brazely?
For sure.
You have a unique experience with him because you play ball with him, right? And yeah. So talk about your journey with him and your testimony, you know, in terms of your professional development. And
We only got an hour, right?
Yeah, yeah. We got do that in 3 minutes, bro. Yeah.
Hey, Derek, I don't know if we can do this in 3 minutes.
No, I'm just teasing. Go ahead.
You know, so the funny and the cool thing is, man, I'm looking at you, brothers, thinking about Daryl. You know, we all, as you know, the Lord brings us, you know, has a journey and a path for all of us. And I look at each of you guys and I think about how you know, our lives interacted and how each of you guys impacted me in different ways. I remember Herbert L. I remember talking to him. And I always tell a story about Herbert L. where when I was down and out at Western, you know, Herbert L., you know, came to me with no bias, no nothing else, and came and supported me. And I never forgot that without any second thought, whatever, you know, hooked a brother up, gave me a couple of dollars and said, you know, encourage me or whatever. And I just, and it just blew me away because the brother didn't take a second thought about it. I remember meeting Mark again on the hill. And even though I grew up in Louisville, you know, I used to say I was bi-coastal because I spent the summers in on 37 Broadway and I spent the rest of my time out in Newburgh. So I was bi-coastal. I was living the life. But anyway, I remember meeting Mark and he was this like quiet guy and everybody kept calling him Silk and he's the side. I'm like, who, this brother, this little brother? Like, oh, we was on the court and they kept saying all this. Man, then I got out there and I learned real quickly why they call him Silk. And after that, I was going to make sure I was going to be his friend. Then, too, you, Kev, I mean, we was all in King Hall together, man. Yeah,
Douglas King.
Man, struggling and running together. But I want to tell a really quick story about Daryl. And you guys know, maybe some of the listeners don't know. I played 13 years professional football, made, you know, All-Pro several times. And anyway, one of the things that happened just recently, I was thinking about it. I was asked to come go to, you know, I spent a lot of time, majority of time in Canada. And so I was part of the Toronto Argonaut football team, and they're the oldest continuous sports organization in the world of over 150 years. And so anyway, they had this get-together of the 150th. So they invited the top 150 players from through the years, and I was fortunate enough to get voted as one of the 150 players to be invited up. And while I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I never would have been there literally one day of play ball at all if it wasn't for Daryl. Mm-hmm. So literally, there was a trial, and I'll make the story a little bit shorter. There was a trial camp coming. A bunch of the guys wanted to go to it. They wasn't sure if we were going to get drafted or picked up. And by then, I thought my career was over. I had a great junior year, made All-American, All-Everything, and then came back my senior and got hurt and didn't get to play. Well, you know, Daryl and I were working out. You know, Daryl was thinking about trying out. I was just trying to get my leg back, and we were all working out, doing things together. And so they were preparing to go to this trial, and Daryl didn't have the money. Right. And so, you know, it came down. He was trying to figure out. I had just got back like maybe the day or so before my income tax. It was the most money I ever had in my life, had $300 saved one time. And so the trial camp, you had to pay $50 and it was in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And so they was going to go in. And so Daryl didn't have the money. He said, so, man, I'm not going to go. He said, but Ray's, you ought to go ahead and go. I said, me. I said, bro, like, everybody knows the story on this team. Like, you decided didn't get a chance to shine like you should have. Mm-hmm. I said, bro, you need to go. I said, bro, I'll tell you what. I got you spot for 50. You go ahead and do it. But when you make it, remember your boy. Hook me up.
That's right.
And the most amazing thing happened. Daryl said, like, well, no, you ought to go too. I said, no, bro, believe me. I got my Letterman's jacket. I got through this thing. I'm good. Like I said, like, me and football, we good. I said, you go ahead and go. And he said, I'm not going if you don't go. I said, man, you know how we are back in the day. Mm-hmm. Brothers say stuff, they don't mean it, right? And I'm thinking, better take this money, go on, get out of here. And so they get ready to pull out. And I said, boy, like, ain't you going? Like, here's the money. Like, go ahead and go. Like, I knew he wanted to go. They were trying to get prepared. He couldn't get his money together. And he said, I'm telling you, I'm not going unless you don't go. I said, Daryl, seriously, bro, my days are done. You need to go. And he said, and he set his stuff down, get to the side, and said, I'm not going if you don't. And I said, I can't believe this guy's not going to go. I mean, like, if anybody on the football team knew, this brother was beyond talented.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't believe that he was going to go because I knew if he went, it was going to be over. So finally, I said, you know, I've never been to North Carolina. I'll go. So we went ahead and we go down there. We get there. There's about 1,200 people, literally. People are just walking in, paying money, and, you know, coming to the camp. And I'm going, like, this is crazy. So I get down there. They all sign up. I don't sign up. I'm like, I'm going to fake them out, right? I'm just going to sit here and watch. Where I sit there for a little bit, and all these people sign, I'm going like, I'll be here all weekend sitting in this grass watching people. I said, nah, might as well go ahead. I'm here now. Might as well go ahead and get my money, see how far I can go. Out of 1,200 people over the weekend, they called 26 people into the room at the end. They had all the NFL coaches. They had all the CFL coaches. And this bigger, it was more coaches than it was players at this point. They said, we don't know why you 26 people are here, but you guys are all good enough to get drafted and be in the NFL. And you guys should be playing. And so it said, like, we all the coaches have your name, blah, 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 blah. we'll probably give you a call back on draft day. So it was amazing. Five of us came down from Weston, and out of those five, two were in that 26 out of 1,200, and it was Daryl and I.
Wow.
And so then came back, we both
and you
got
see that? He said, he's not going unless you go.
So my whole
and
football
both of
career,
you
yeah,
got
career.
In.
Yeah, my whole football
that's,
career
that's,
is literally
that's
because
out.
Of Daryl Drake. So yeah. I tell people all the time, it was literally because of Daryl Drake. Yeah.
That's looking out. And Derek, I know as you listen, and we talk about your brother, you know, nobody knows what kind of brother he was like you, because you are his yeah. blood, biological brother, been with him since birth. But that's what stands out to me about Daryl Drake, same testimony that Carl gave. He always looked out for other always. People ahead of himself. And how did that look from your standpoint growing up with him?
Well, you know, even though I was the big brother, you know, Daryl was... Now, I mean, growing up, I used to really have to push him in his early days. He didn't, you know, we would go to the gym and he wanted to stand against the wall. I'm like, no, you're not going to stand against the wall. So, I mean, in his early days, I used to have to force him to compete. But one thing I'll say about my brother, he always was locked in on what it was that God was going to have him to do.
Amen.
I was more hard-headed. I would roll down the hill, go through the wall, and have the hard hat banged up and cracked. And when I would come out on the other side, he would say, "I was waiting on you."
That's right.
and so he waited on God, and in them days I was impatient. And he did teach me to wait later, but I wanted to say something to what Carl had said that you know, in the NFL. When the season would end and their phones would be ringing off his phone would be ringing like he was in telemarketing. And the league management so many teams trusted Daryl, and he was so significant in getting so many coaches placed at teams. His word was bond, and he also brought Christ to the players, to the rooms.
Amen. Amen.
Tony Dungy as well, but they brought Christ into the rooms where the players are learning how to play. And he always each week he pulled a scripture out of the Bible. And they had to learn it before game day. And I just thought that he really that's the reason why God never gave him. He got three lovely nieces. But I think that was the reason God never gave him any biological sons, because his cup was going to run over with young men.
Amen. Look
amen.
At God. Amen. You know, and there's so much we can unpack as we talk about Daryl Drake, but Herbert L., I can't let the first segment go without talking about him as a leader within the Buzzard Movement at WKU.
Oh, yeah, the Buzzard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he was the big Buzzard.
He was. He was, Kevin. And I'm glad you mentioned that, Kevin, because I never forget when Herbert D. was on the hill as a freshman. I came down and the one thing that us young men remember, that when you went off to school, you was on your own, right?
That's right.
So Herbert Drake, you know, playing football, he had the meal plan as a football player, right? So us buzzers, we never had to worry about getting nothing to eat. Yeah. Herbert Drake took us up to the lunchroom, dinner time, lunch time. You know, he was a man of God. Same. Ain't no doubt about it.
He fed the hungry.
He fed the hungry. He fed the hungry. That's my memory, and you know, that's a blessing, man. Just to be able to say, you know, that we was part of that blessing. You know what I mean? Because on his scholarship, we all ate. You know what I mean? Yeah, amen.
We did. You know, and he blessed me in a very special way, because I got the chance to coach the Buzzers intramural basketball team. Yeah. And Daryl was a coach's coach. We all know that. He was a coach's coach. And as I took pride in being a coach of the Buzzers, which went undefeated consecutive seasons, never lost a game in Dill Arena. Nobody holds that record but Buzzers.
That's right.
But people don't know this, that Daryl Drake was the general manager. He appointed me. He recruited me to coach and told me, you're going to be the coach.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay. Yes. So he was the guy that put it all together, you know. And we love him dearly, Brother Derek. And looking forward to this Saturday. And we're going to hear from Clarence Glover in a moment, because this what's happening this Saturday down in Western Kentucky is a very historic moment, very special moment. And there's a lot of agony that goes into making this decision. I got a chance to experience some of that vetting of these potential inductees. We got another one here in the studio with us today, Carl Brace. We're going to be vetting him, hopefully. We're going to be advancing his name. But I know it's such a hard decision, and I can share this, and probably I'll maybe save it for when Clarence gets on, because last conversation I had with Daryl, we had a three-way conversation with him and Clarence Glover and myself. I believe it was in late latter part of 2018, and we were talking about, you know, how do we approach the W Club in a way to make a compelling case. Mm-hmm. And I'm selling Daryl to Clarence, and Clarence is just looking to learn because he didn't know Daryl. Mm-hmm. But he came to know him, and, you know, mm-hmm. so we're going to have that moment Saturday morning down in Diddle, where all of that comes together, right? You guys mm-hmm. going to be there, right, Mark?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, we're going to be there.
Let's talk about the significance of that, you know, being inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's, you know, that's one of those things that don't go away. Once you're in, you're in.
Amen. Amen. You know what? Give all honor to God, because that's what Daryl would do.
Amen.
If it wasn't for the Lord, he wouldn't be where he is.
Amen.
At the same time, you know, when we grew up in Louisville, brothers, we know it was basketball. It wasn't football.
No.
Nope. Yeah.
Amen. Football was the big guys that couldn't play basketball.
Right.
But we kept up with what the basketball was going on. So Daryl and Derrick Drake and Sherman Gully and Allen Cornell started Flagey. They put Flagey on the map as far as basketball go.
You said something.
Amen. Didn't nobody want to play them in basketball. But we already knew from the neighborhood what Daryl and Derrick could do on that court.
Right.
Because, you know, so, you know, we all made each other better.
Right.
But at the same time, it was, for us, football was a pastime for Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he just did it because they wanted him to play. Of course, we know he's going to be good because he was an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl could run track, basketball. He would excel in everything, opportunity that he got in any sport. But after, we know, he got the Western, then it was like, oh, Daryl's not only a killer on the court with us, the Buzzards, amen. But at the same time, you know, on the football field, nobody could check him nowhere on right. any level, you know, because he was so deceptive in his speed, even in his quickness, you know, his jumping ability and everything else. You just throw it up, and he's going to get it. He's going to be open. But at the same time, God took that part and made Daryl be able to help so many other people. People don't know. He coached people like Hines Ward when he was in college and stuff like that. You know, we kept up with him and the people he was helping along the way.
Yeah.
But we still don't know today all the people's lives he's touched.
Amen.
Besides ours.
Right, amen. Right, Mark. And, you just said something, you know, what I do remember, you know, at Flash A when, you know, Daryl graduated. I think he ran like a 4.6, whatever. Help me out, Carl.
Faster than that, bro.
Yeah, what was it?
He was like a 4.4.
Yeah, one of the fastest brothers in the world. You know what I mean?
Just to hop in real quick, heard about that. I remember when, you know, because I came from track and walked on the football team. And I remember I ran like a really good 40. And I'm like, man, who's that brother? Like, because, you know, nobody knew me, whatever. And after a little bit, they're like, man, you know, it's between him and EP. Who the fastest on the team? That's what they were saying.
Yeah.
And another brother said, like, nope. He said, let me show you who the fastest guy is. And they point to Daryl.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe it at first because he would walk so slow. He was everything was such slow motion with him.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up, Braves, man?
That was a 32nd Street thing, wasn't it? Wasn't it, Derek? That was 32nd Street
that's
smooth.
Right.
Yeah.
I know two brothers like that. GB,
yeah, that's right.
Bill, you know, that's that smooth 32nd Street thing.
That's
here.
Right. That's right.
And you know, I knew Daryl because of basketball, like Mark said. We knew him because of everything but football. But I knew he was a track star, mm-hmm. Like three Letterman in three sports, All State in three sports mm-hmm. or whatever. But I didn't know nothing about no football until I got there.
So, Carl, I want to ask you a question because you played defensive back, right? You were cornerback,
mm-hmm.
and Daryl was a receiver. So I can imagine in practice you guys was lining up against each other. What was that like?
Good question.
Great. So what we would do is try to make sure we didn't have to go against each other. No, I knew, like, you know, I wouldn't say anything. Everybody would talk about Eddie or whatever, and Eddie was – you know, you can't take nothing away from him. That brother was serious. We just, the level of talent that we had was just unbelievable. And they were such different type of receivers. But, man, both of them on their own were just unimaginable. And I was just always, used to always be upset because,